Did you know that you have been created to be a carrier of His presence? If you're a son or daughter of the Lord, you've been created to carry Him. You know, so many times we think that, how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, rhetorical question, how many of us really, in our heart of hearts, believe the devil is more powerful than God in you? Many of us live our lives that way. But 1 John 4:4 says that the Spirit of God, the one in you, is far greater and far stronger than the spirit that's in the world. In other words, it's time to get lined up with who God says that we are and start walking into our cities, our neighborhoods, and our workplaces, knowing that the atmosphere of darkness has to change because I just showed up in the place full of Him.
Amen.
So many of us won't go to Harry Hines or Northwest Highway or some of those dark areas because, man, there's some bad spirits down there. I can't be like that, Pastor Mike, at my workplace. You don't understand. No, we have forgotten that the one in us is the one that changes the atmosphere. We need to go into some Buddha temples and different things like that, knowing that there's going to be something radically changed in the atmosphere because Jesus lives in us. Now, I'm not telling you to go to do things if you don't have a word of knowledge, but I'm telling you, I think a lot of us get words of knowledge and don't act upon them. We would have never met these two precious women if last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, doing our outreach, if we didn't go, you know, we need to go into that place. And then Chris Parrott walking by and saying, 316, John 316, let's knock on that door. And we knock on this door and get to meet these two incredible, precious ladies over here. And I'm praying and believing that part of the word is that she's part of a family here now, that if God keeps them here for 6 months, 6 years, we're going to be a great spiritual family together. Amen. How many people out in our cities need to come in contact with the one that lives in us and changes the atmosphere? Here's the thing that I want us to talk about. It's time to quit treating the Lord as if He was Santa Claus. Where we live the way we want to Monday through Saturday, Sunday we come and we put our Jesus face on. We live here and we start kind of living the way that we want to again. It's an incredible story here. I love 1 and 2 Samuel. It's some of my favorite scripture to turn back to many, many times through the year. Eli was the priest at that time and he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they used to sleep with the women at the Ark of the Covenant, the very tent opening that represented the presence of the living God in the Old Testament. We had Aaron's sons who would drink the bottle a little bit, and one day God gets mad because, and there's nothing wrong with drinking wine if God gives you that freedom and liberty. That's not what I'm saying. But you see, they would drink and then stand up and minister before a holy God. And one day God says, you know, it's time to separate the precious from the vile. I'm precious, and what you continue to do is vile. And one day when they lit the censer that was supposed to be prayers of the saints, the incense, God says, you know, no more. And they fell over dead. Now, you talk about some hard prophetic words. Moses tells Aaron, you can't be mad and you can't be mad at God within seconds of his sons falling over dead. Now, I know that a lot of you think, well, Pastor Mike, that's Old Testament. God's not that extreme. Well, I encourage you to read Acts 5 where the couple of brothers and sisters sold their land for $80,000. It was okay. It was their money to do what they wanted to do with it. But, you know, man, we want our names written, you know, well, we're really something. We're big givers. We're, you know, so, well, we only sold it for 40, so here's 40,000. And Peter goes, how dare you lie to the Holy Spirit? And because you have not tested me, man, you've tested God. You've just breathed your last breath. And he fell over dead. So see, don't talk to me about Old Testament, New Testament. See, the church, my life at different times has lost the fear of the Lord. Not where I'm fearing that He's going to knock me down dead, but where I don't honor His Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us the way that I should. He's a holy God, and He's a jealous God. Last week I preached about how He's a God of stewardship. And if you're not going to live the way He wants you to live and obey, He's going to take what one had and give it to another, because God thinks in cities. Because He took to, and gave to the one that had 10 minas and said, I give you authority over 10 cities. The one who didn't, He took and gave it to him. God is concerned about cities that we live around. Because in those cities, boundaries and borders are the people He created. Amen? You following me? So in all of that, these two sons of Eli were doing really, really bad. And I don't have time to preach on it. It's time for father government to rise up, apostolic government. Eli knew what his sons were doing, but wouldn't correct them. It's time to be in a spiritual house that spiritual moms and dads will go, you know, you need to quit doing that. And here's why. Not some legalistic way, the way that the shepherd ministry did it, shepherd movement did it back in the 70s and 80s. But I'm talking about life-giving love that says, man, you're going to get in some deep trouble if you don't stop doing that. You see, the true government that God put on the face of the earth, you can see in Ephesians 4, was an apostolic government. It's supposed to be spiritual moms and dads that would call you into your destiny. So because He didn't correct them, great tragedy was going to happen. In 1 Samuel 4 and 5, they're having a battle against the Philistines. And the day before, and you can find this in 1 Samuel 4, 3, the day before they went out, and because the sin of the leaders of Israel in that time caused the other men in that nation to go, oh, if you can do that, I can do that. Because even Eli says, son, you make the men of our nation sin because of the way you live. And because of that, God's not going to, and really, God's not going to honor that kind of living. He'll give grace, grace, grace for a season. Comes a day. It's a time that He separates the precious from the vile. And as a prophetic voice, I'm here to tell you, this nation stands at that doorway that God is getting ready to separate the precious and the vile. I believe it with everything in me. 9/11 didn't wake us up to walk away from some of the things that the church was, had put her hands to, the plow of the earth, the plow of the world. There's so much culture of the earth in the church, and God is getting ready to come because He loves us. He prunes us out of love. He prunes us to release the colors of His kingdom. He's coming to separate the precious from the vile. Amen? I know that's not a great word to hear, but it's time that we wake up. So that day, 4,000 men, as Israel goes out to fight the Philistines, because God will, He's not Santa Claus. If you're not going to walk according to His covenant, there comes a time that truth has to be released. And it's not just about grace, 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 grace. Love, 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 love. It's time that the church, it's time that me and you, we can't be sloppy in our relationship with the Holy One and the Jealous One. You see, we want to talk that He's a God of love. He is, but He's also a jealous, holy God. Those are the titles we need to be preaching, in my opinion, in this prophetic season. So in this, 4,000 brothers were killed in this battle. So they think, well, you know, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant here. If we just get the Ark of the Covenant, treat it like Santa Claus, because the Ark of the Covenant was made of gold and precious expensive curtains. It was the piece of cabinet, if you will, that represented that God lives in this holy place. And they said, if we just bring it into the camp, everything will be okay. But let me tell you what, bringing the presence of God into your life, even on Sunday mornings like this, and then you choosing not to obey Him out there comes a time that he's going to require the precious and the vile to be separated. So they brought the Ark of the Covenant in. Follow me here. 1 Samuel 4, 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp of the Israelites, all of Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. See, God doesn't really care about our praise and worship where it shakes the earth if our hearts are far from Him. Think about it, church. They get so excited that the Ark of the Covenant that represents the Holy God comes into the camp. There's a shout so loud that the earth shakes. A tremor is felt. But hearts never changed. They didn't repent. They forgot that He was a holy, jealous God. Jealous of love. Jealous of true truth. So they go out the next day just thinking, well, we'll treat God like Santa Claus. I don't have to change my way of living. And they go running out there to take on the Philistines. And the Philistines beat their brains in where it says every man that could escape ran to their tent, ran to their home. Because Eli didn't repent a couple of chapters back when a prophet came and gave him a word, you're going to die, your sons are going to die. In fact, the word is so extreme, there will never be a man in your family line that will live to be an old age. Because God is a jealous God. And if you want to be a pastor, you want to be a leader in a church, you want to be a leader in your workplace, for God, there's a high calling for you to a way you need to live your life. And again, I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I'm talking about you knowing that you serve a holy, jealous, loving God. Amen? This is a good word. It really is. Our nation's out of control. I could almost take you here and tell you where, in my opinion, and I believe it was God's opinion because I felt like He gave me revelation of it. Cancer has been released to our nation because we no longer fear the Lord. Now, I'm not saying if you've ever had cancer or any of that, that you don't fear the Lord. It's not what I'm saying. We've opened a gate of the demonic because we've lost the fear of the Lord. In this battle, the Philistines take the Ark of the Covenant. And I loved how Jason prayed this in pre-service prayer. God doesn't need us, but He wants us. They take the Ark of the Covenant into their little worship center with their God called Dagon. And they put the Ark of the Covenant in there. He goes, yeah, see, our God, He's something. We've captured the Israelite God. Now you got to read the story. It's a cool story. It's a fascinating story. The Philistines leave and they go and you know they're having a party that night, man. And then they go get up the next morning, walk in there, and their God has been thrown down, face first, bowed before the Ark of the Covenant. That's how powerful our God is. But He will not tolerate a lukewarm, passive, living holy one moment, unholy the next, more unholy than holy. He finally comes a time that He brings forth His discipline, pruning, to separate the precious from the vile. It's all through Scripture. He separates the precious from the vile. And so, man, they go, wow, man, first day, really nothing was broken off the Philistines. God, they propped it back up. They thought surely it had to be an accident. They go in the next morning, that thing has been thrown violently down before the Ark of the Covenant, breaking off parts of the statue that was there, supposedly God. I paint this picture to you. God doesn't need us, but He wants us because He has chosen to come and live, not in a box anymore. But if you've been reading Romans 8, where does He live, Matt? He lives within us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and I. And if we'll start living like He's a jealous God, from a place of intimacy, when we walk into a place, instead of us being changed, the atmosphere of darkness will be changed. Cities were turned upside down to the point Acts 17:6 says this. The men and women who've turned the world upside down have come into our cities. Is there some true world changers in this house tonight, today? I mean, world changers that God, the one that created the world and wants to change the worlds that we live in, and He can do it. Closing in this, hearts that are not sold out from God, great sound is released. Nothing is changed, right, except for bad. Turn to Acts 2. Hearts going after God, sold out to God, can have a sound come into it. Acts 2:2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One sound didn't produce any kingdom change of the kingdom of God affecting the earth in 1 Samuel 4. This sound comes to the face of the earth, hearts wholeheartedly after God, hungry for God. Let me tell you, the commodity that all of us need for God is hunger. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will sometimes be filled. See, Wendy Kay, she caught me. She goes, man, she smiles, she turns, and she shall be filled all the time. Some of you are just satisfied for some of the time. How about all the time and not all the time? Running over. God's got a sound in here today, church. It's been here all morning. He's omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing, everywhere. He's got a sound for every one of us. Can you imagine why Peter stood up at Pentecost? He had the sound of a forgiving God who had forgiven him for betraying Jesus Christ 3 times. He had a purpose to share a story. His story mattered. God wants to release a sound to every one of us that we would be forever changed, and He wants to release that sound every day. He's revealed something to you to this part in your life, point in your life. Tomorrow He wants to reveal more of His nature and kingdom. Amen? He's a holy, jealous God who wants to kiss us with flames of fiery love and flames of fiery truth. And that passage in 1 John 4, it says that the Spirit of God that lives in us is far stronger than the spirit of the world. It talks about how He is the Spirit of truth that will destroy the spirit of error, the devil. We need to be kissed by this fiery love and truth every day, that truly every form of a spirit of error would be destroyed off of our lives. So I want to pray over us. And this is what I want us to do also. I think every year there's a true apostolic message that's preached. Been great messages preached over this entire year. We're about to celebrate our 1 year anniversary. But there was an apostolic message that was preached by Tim Chapman back in October. I encourage you, if you weren't here to listen to it, go listen to it. He preached out of Acts 14 about family versus corporate church, a family church versus a corporate church. And that it's the story of one of the times when Paul was stoned and lying there dead, and the family gathered around him and prayed for him. And he came up. And Tim's whole message was the fact that there's going to be sometimes you're the one down that needs the family to gather around you. And Stephen, I love you, and I'm praying big times for you. Stephen is a man in our body who needs new kidneys and new lungs. He was just in the hospital. And I want to get a chair for you right here, friend. So, Devin, will you get a chair for me here? I want to invite you to come. And for those who have faith to pray today, we're going to do one more worship song. If you don't have faith today, that's okay. Stay there and just worship the Lord. But I'm believing in a miracle that this man of God is going to get new kidneys, new lungs. So if you have faith to pray over him as we worship him, I want to invite you to come and gather around him for complete and total healing and restoration, and that we're not going to let go until we see it manifested on earth. Oh, Father, we thank you that you touch us over and over. Lord, we thank you for the touches over and over, sometimes when we're not even looking for it. We're not hungering for it. So, Lord, we thank you for your great grace, your truth that liberates us and sets us free. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just be seated for just a moment. I'm just going to make a few announcements. You know, C and I went to see Steve at the hospital a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, as pastors, you go there thinking that you got the great anointing for everything and all that. And really, I'm most of the time not arrogant. But sometimes it can seep in there. And I was going there to bless him, though. And I ended up leaving 30 minutes later, more blessed by Steve and his mother. Here's the reason why. As I see him walk through this, and, you know, that's the reason we all have a story. Why do I beg you to come to fellowships? So that you can hear the story and the chapters of a person's life. Little did I know, I mean, we've been praying for Steve for a year of really getting to know Steve, but I did not know he had two books that he had published. And he didn't tell me. His mom, very proud of him, says, you know, at our church, and they live in Greenville, we pray the very scriptures that Steve has in his book. I said, Steve, you've written a book? Yeah, I have. And the title is, Jesus Really Said It. And it's books and scriptures of the words that Jesus promised in healing and other things. And all of a sudden, I started understanding the man of God. You see, sometimes when we walk through trials and tribulations, we mumble and complain. Steve's walking through one of the most challenging trials and tribulations I think a person could walk through. And he's quoting the Word of God. He even penned it in a book. So whatever you're walking through, why don't you take that man's testimony over there? Because you see, to me, he's a Hebrews 11 guy. He's a hero of the faith. You see, your faith really is demonstrated when you walk through the valley, not when you're on a mountaintop. And he's walking through a valley, and he's quoting the Word of God. So what valley are you finding yourself in? And are you mumbling and complaining? Or are you quoting the Word of God over your life? I walked to the car, and I got in the car, and I told Celia, I said, I'm so humbled to know the story in a few books of a page of his epistle. Because we're all living epistles. And to know just a few pages of Steve's life, that he's walking through a challenging time. And he writes a book quoting and declaring the goodness of God's scriptures. So then they started telling me about book number two that Steve has written. And it's the quotes of Proverbs, the wise sayings of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. So we're going to order some off of Amazon. We want to sow into the man of God. I encourage you to buy a copy or two. Amen? Because you know, it really is time to walk according to the Word of God, no matter what season we're in. Amen? So in closing, we have a prayer summit coming up. Next Sunday, we're actually going to kick it off. And Lori's going to be leading worship, I think. And we're just going to have worship and intercession. A lot like this, but not my two different messages through there. But you never know, I might squeeze in one. Just kidding. We're just going to have a great time of really ending the month of July, opening up the door. Last August, when we were kicking things off, we just had worship and intercession every Sunday. I think it's something that God wants to get us into as a church, that we worship and intercede as we kick off the month of August. If you are dealing with any physical issue, prodigal son or daughter issue, you want to get married, and I'm being serious to that, you're single and you want to get married, I don't care what it is. I want you to email the situation. Lizzie, are you raising your hand? You want to be married? Wow, man, I looked over there. Someday. That's good, that's good. Just adding a little humor. Well, that's what we're going to put. Well, I'm not sure about millionaires, but I want you to send your prayer request. Now, please hang with me. Send your prayer request starting today so that we got time to put it all together. And starting next Sunday, we're going to pray for every name. You don't even have to say what it is. If you just want to say your name, whatever you want to add to it. Send it and write this down, CeliaOrand@gmail.com. Aren't you going to send out an email? Can't you just send out an email, tell them this, and they'll respond back or not?
No.
Anyway, Celia, C-E-L-I-A, she gave me that look, that husband look. I discerned it correctly. Orand, O-R-A-N-D. I get that look about twice a week at gmail.com. Nancy laughs. She goes, twice a week? How about twice a day? So anyway, CeliaOrand@gmail.com. Let's play. Let's start praying and believing. Let's follow what Steve's doing with his life and declare it. Thank you. Thank you. But anyway, really send your prayer requests in. And then I invite you. I'm actually going to be here every morning that Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. We're going to open the door, and it'll be opened at 6 if you want to come in. Don't feel any pressure, but at 6 o'clock that night, there is going to be a prophet here, and his name's Jesus. There's going to be an intercessor. So if you need to hear that a prophet's going to be here to come, his name's Jesus. He's the intercessor, and he's the king of intercession. So come for him, and let's pray and believe, because I really do believe our nation stands in the balance. Really some serious issues, and it's time for the church to rise up and pray his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.